Welcome to episode 127 of Anime and Us. I'm TJ.
And I'm Sean.
And this is the review show that reviews anime from A to Z. Sort of.
Alright guys, last episode I used my pick for category D. I got Dota Dragon Blood.
Well, you didn't get it. You chose it.
I chose it. It is an animated epic fantasy streaming television series. It's weird that they worded it that way, but whatever. Based on Dota 2, a 2013 MOBA video game developed and published by Valve. The show was produced by Studio Mir in association with Ashley Edward Miller's company. I just knew it was Studio Mir. I didn't know anything else. Premiered March 25th, 2021.
On Netflix.
Netflix, yeah. Before we get into it, I loved it. I loved every bit of it. So, just watch it. It's good. Even if TJ has issues with it, that's fine. But, like, it's good, so watch it before you get it ruined.
I liked it. It just felt like, what's the word I'm looking at? It felt like it was all set up.
What do you mean?
The whole, because apparently there's going to be more seasons, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Yeah, another one's coming out.
But the first 8 episodes felt like it was...
Oh, set up for something else?
Yeah.
Yeah. I could feel that. I could see how that, because it's like things are happening, but they're happening at such a quick pace. They're just trying to do a ground level.
Yeah, it's like, it feels like a lot of things are happening, but nothing is proceeding. If you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, for instance, the main character very quickly turns into this weird half dragon, half human mix. And, like, they're setting things up to happen with his character, but nothing actually happens in this season.
Right. So, like, What I would suggest is I would wait until...
Season 2.
Season 2, or even if there's a Season 3 or however many seasons out, and do the whole thing at once.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down with that with a lot of things. That would work with this, too. So, the biggest complaint that I saw people had with this was that it was only 8 episodes. They wanted more story with the heroes and backstory for them. And although I do agree with that, because especially when you have something you really like, you want more of it. You know, it's like a double-edged sword. Sometimes you get too much.
Well, the problem I also have is, like, we spend a lot of episodes doing nothing.
Well, character.
I mean, it's character growth, building. Sure, but if you only have 8 episodes and you...
There's 2 or 3 episodes in the middle where they're not doing a whole lot. But Davion and what's-her-name, the princess, are kind of, like, building their relationship.
Right, and I understand, and that's all fine and well, but you're asking a bunch of people to invest in this show that... For how long, you know? It's like, it's a first season. Something should be, at least some sort of story should be in that first season.
There is, but it's like micro stories. Each hero has a little micro story.
Right, but like there should be an overarching plot for the first season with plot hooks to this.
I think what you said in the beginning about it being a setup probably rings true a little more.
Yeah.
Now that we're getting into it a bit. Because the whole Invoker thing, which we'll get into, felt like a huge setup for the rest of the show.
Right. And they set up this whole demon thing in the first episode.
And you don't see him again until the last episode.
The last episode. And then they set up this whole god, and all of a sudden, like, she's this all-powerful being, and at the end, she's nothing. It's like...
Well, she is and isn't. Then, well, let's just get to the premise. We'll get to that. So, the very beginning of the episode, there's a dragon slayer, essentially, and he's fighting a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
The premise of the show is it's sort of medieval era, there's magic, and it's a weird premise because each character has their own premise.
Right, exactly.
There isn't really an overarching plot. So Davion, his premise is he's a dragon knight, he hunts dragons, and in the first episode, or the second episode, I can't remember, he eventually gets spliced with this dragon and it's in him, and that's his plot, is figuring out what's going on and hopefully fixing it.
Because the dragon was being attacked by a demon, and...
So he
sided with the dragon. And that's the other problem I have with this. There are too many characters with too many stories happening at once.
They all intersect, though.
Yeah, I know they all intersect. And it's, don't get me wrong, the show's good.
I don't think there's too many. There's really only, like, 5. Well, 5 important characters. There's Davion and the princess. Mercy's, who's the silent bodyguard. Not important. She's a side character. Then there's the Invoker, the guy at the tower. There's Selimene, the goddess of the moon. And there's 2 side characters that are supporting characters. The elf girl that does shadows.
But she's not a supporting character.
She kind of is. She doesn't really feel like a main character. She does not get a lot of screen time like Davion or Princess does.
Her story is very main character.
I think that's a good thing. When a side character or a supporting character has main character story.
I actually think she's going to end up being that guy's daughter. Or the embodiment of the goddess's daughter.
That would be interesting, but I don't think so.
That's where it looks like it was going.
That would be very interesting, but I don't think that's going to happen. And then there's also the, I forget her name, but the elf lady that was doing the bidding of Selimene. and killing them.
Was she an elf?
Well,
I just thought she was probably human. She was just a human.
Fairly irrelevant.
But there's those five characters, and then there's about 30 other side characters that you see.
Not 30. Like, there's a couple. Like, Gavion has his helper, but you only see him twice.
You see him in the first episode and the last episode. I forgot he exists.
I didn't. I was looking for him the whole time.
I forgot he existed. And then there's the whole, you know, his mentor Dragon Slayer guy. And then they show up in one episode, and then this
Kaden.
Kaden
was his mentor. I know a lot of the names.
Yes, you do. You really like this show.
I liked it a lot, especially because of the ending, but we'll get to that.
Don't get me wrong. It's not a bad show, and I did like the show, and I would want to see a second season. I just, as a first season as a whole, it's just lacking.
I would say it's lacking in the sense of the overarching plot. It didn't really have that. It's right. It did, like you said before, it very much felt like a setup for more.
It felt like a fresh chapter of a story.
Yeah. They did say book, so they're trying to do the whole book thing instead of seasons.
Yeah, but it's the whole Avatar thing. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. But that
seems like every popular American cartoon.
But let's compare that for a minute. Avatar and this. Book one of Avatar, there was a complete story for book one. It was all about him learning waterbending.
Yeah, there was also like 26 episodes in it.
Fair. But this is not a book. This is like the start of a book.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So anyway. That's all I'm saying. No, it's fine. I get
great. Oh, and another thing I have a problem with that has nothing to do with the anime is that this is based on a MOBA. A mobile thing.
Not a mobile. Mobile.
No. A MOBA. Like one of those arena games.
Top-down strategy type
game. Yeah, that's, arena games. Yeah. But they have all this lore for all these characters. It makes me mad that this didn't get a proper game that's stuck in that shitty MOBA genre.
You say it's shitty, but it's wildly popular. You just don't like it.
The genre is shitty.
You can say that all you want, but it's wildly popular.
Have you ever played League of Legends?
No, because it doesn't look fun at all. Exactly. I don't like it either, but I also don't like rap music. Doesn't mean it's shitty.
It's shitty.
Okay.
It's trapped in this. But all that lore is trapped in something that's not executed on in a MOBA. That's why they're doing animes and shit.
It's executed in the MOBA just fine. What do you mean?
How?
Play the game and you'll see the lore. That's how. You're not playing the game, so you're not experiencing it.
You have to read the lore, essentially. It's all in like
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
It's not implemented like an RPG or anything like that. Sure.
It's like playing through Skyrim and reading the books.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's not for me. But a lot of people like it.
Yeah, well, of course they do, because, you know, that's why I got an anime. But that's not the point I'll make it.
Pause. Sorry about that. I had to shoot my dog into a room so she wasn't so loud walking around.
Oh, hopefully. He took out a gun and shot the poor thing.
Gotta feed the family somehow.
Anyway, that's all my complaints.
Hey, I think they're very fair complaints. The lore thing, I think, is particularly an issue, because all of these characters have deep, deep lore. And, for instance, Davian doesn't make sense to know his lore yet, because his lore is now starting, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Invoker has been around for thousands of years.
Right.
Maybe a little more lore into him and why he's so powerful. You get none of that.
No.
You really get none of that.
We don't know why he's a magician or anything. We get his backstory about how he was in love with the goddess and stuff, but yes. We have no inclination of why he's powerful.
None at all.
Yeah.
We'll get to it, though. So, Davion's, you know, killing dragons and eventually gets spliced, and he bumps into the princess. I forget her name. Kara? No. But the princess has Marcy, who, for some reason I remember her name, is like her bodyguard. Mute, but super strong.
I'm actually fairly impressed you remember the names, because I remember none of them.
I really liked this. This is also my second time watching it. Yeah. I watched it when it came out, and then I picked it for this because I know it's pretty good.
I really liked it too, but if it's got exotic names in it, and I just don't remember them.
Well, some of them aren't too exotic, like Marcy is terrible.
Yeah, I know,
terrible.
But it's the same thing with common Japanese names. I never remember any of them either. So
Kaden's fairly normal.
Yeah,
it's weird that I remember Kaden's, because, like, there's almost no screen time with him. There's one episode where you have him for, like, 5 minutes, and then that's it.
Yeah, but they're genetic fantasy names, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like Kaden, yeah, it's a name used, but at the same time, it sounds fantasy-like. So that's why it's used like that. But, like, certain Japanese names I can remember, like Sakura or something like that, but I can't remember any of them.
The weird ones.
Yeah.
Well, he meets up with the princess, and the princess is apparently on a quest to get to reclaim the lotuses. Were they lotuses? Some sort of flower.
Lotus is a flower.
Oh, I don't know if it was a Lotus, though.
It is. It was a Lotus.
Okay. There's a bunch of Lotuses that she was charged to protect for her Selimene goddess or whatever, and they got stolen.
Because they apparently give her power, the goddess?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not 100% sure about that, but we do know that her worshippers give her power. I can explain that later.
Right, well, that's...
That's a typical god thing, right?
But the lotuses also give her power. Or
yes. For some reason, she really wants them back.
Yeah, because otherwise it wouldn't make any sense for her to send, you know, all these after a couple of flowers.
So the princess and Marcy are trying to get the lotuses back. Davion's spliced with this, you know, dragon thing now. Mm-hmm. And they're just kind of going in the same direction. Plus, he's naked.
A lot.
He wakes up, you know, after being spliced with the dragon. And he's all like, kind of like a drunken stupor. Mm-hmm. Essentially, and some people rob him, but then you find out later on that he turned into a dragon.
And murdered them.
Yeah, murdered them all.
Yeah, he's out of his clothes a lot, but the show is not very fanservice.
Yeah, not at all. Especially not towards the women.
No, not at all. I mean, I'm not complaining about it, but he's, like, constantly out of his clothes.
He's constantly turning into a dragon, and it rips his clothes off, so he needs clothes again.
It makes sense. I mean, at one point...
They even commented on it.
Yeah, that he's like a princess, always changing his clothes.
Yeah, and then, the princess saw him in clothes at one point towards the end, when he was essentially picking her up after she saved him, and he had clothes on, I think, and she's like, oh, you've got clothes on this time. Something like that. I can't remember the exact scene, but it was something like that.
It's a bit throughout the whole thing.
Well, so they're trying to... He wants to figure out what's going on with the dragon things, and he needs to go to X City to figure that out. She needs to go to X City, which happens to be the same city, to figure out how she can get the... to go to the person who has the lotuses that she thinks anyway. The person doesn't have them, but she thinks this person has them.
Well, it's a black market thing.
Yeah, right?
Or something.
And it happens to be the same city, so they're traveling together.
Yeah, that plot really went nowhere, the black market thing, because...
Well,
it's a red herring, I guess. I shouldn't say it goes nowhere, because it was basically just a trap.
Yes, it was a trap.
But it was...
It ended in that episode.
Yeah, but it was a stupid trap, because they took care of those guys in, like, 3 seconds.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's highly trained, so is Marcy. And
yeah, I know, it's just...
Those guys are essentially
thugs. But that's what I mean. It felt like we spent, like, 3 episodes on this getting to this black market, and it's like... It was nothing.
Well, that didn't bother me too much. What bothered me was when they first show up to that city that they were both going towards, neither of them have any money, essentially.
Yeah.
But Davion knows this innkeeper, this tavern, and he knows the guy that owns it, and he's like, oh, they'll put us up, they'll give me clothes, like, you know, they'll help us out. I've got, you know, good faith with them. They get there, and, you know, they get the room and board and everything, and then one of the patrons sees the gold ring he had? Is that what it was?
Well,
he coughs it up.
He coughs up, though.
So he's talking to the bartender, and he coughs up this gold ring with a red gem on it. And one of the patrons sees it and, you know, says, oh, that was my brother. They, you know.
One of my band brothers, yeah.
They were all found murdered. I'm going to go get my men, and we're going to come back and kill you. Blah, blah, blah.
Tomorrow.
But he kept the ring. Davion kept it. So what bothered me was, like, he goes to the first smelter, the first iron, you know, sword maker or whatever, and tries to barter with him to get a sword, because he doesn't have any weapons on it or any money. It's a gold ring with a gem on it. And the guy says, no, I know what ring that is, you know, like, they'll come after me if I do that. And then he just goes to a gambling place and gambles it and loses. This is a giant city. There's other places you could have melted down that gold. like he said, you could buy X amount of things with it if you just melt it down.
Well, that's another thing. There's a lot of contrivance to get to where we need to.
But that was a bit of a subplot just to force him and the princess to be together again.
Right.
Because at the end of the episode, they come after him, but then the princess helps him, and, you know, he turns into a dragon and murders some of them, and then he's like, no, I murder dragons, not people.
Right, exactly. What was the deal with the zombie crystal? Why did that happen?
I think that's probably something for later on. I'm not really sure. It might just be a thing for her to struggle against in that episode.
But that has happens a lot, too. They introduce a thing, and then we never hear from it again.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I guess we're not following that side quest.
Well,
tonight.
I guess the overarching plot for them is for him to figure out what's going on, for her to get to the... I guess that is an overarching plot for the season, right? She's trying to do the whole flower thing. He's trying to figure out what's going on with him, which he doesn't figure out, really. But he does find out that it's terminal. He's going to die.
You're right. And then he doesn't tell her, which is so contrived.
He does tell her, actually.
But not in the beginning.
No, not in the beginning. And, he tells her.
And forces a lot of forced drama. Yeah. And
well, he doesn't find out it's Terminal until, like, the second or third episode.
One or two episodes where now he's kind of flirting with the elf girl, and the other girl's all jealous. And
stuff. He was not flirting with the dark,
I know, but it made it feel like that, you know?
She felt like that because she likes him, and he's talking to another girl.
But, you know, that whole force thing going on there.
Well, look, overall, I don't want to go step-by-step through everything, but I do want to talk about Invoker.
All right, before you get to that, here's another good example of what this show is. It's like when you're playing an RPG and you're following a quest line, and you're just, oh, you see all these things lead into other side quests, and you just ignore them and continue forward.
Well, you're not, don't necessarily, yes, but you don't necessarily ignore everything else, because, like, the guy's fighting him, for instance, because of the ring.
Uh-huh.
It happened. It wasn't really a side quest. It happened and it was over.
That was more of a random encounter.
There was one or two side things, like the zombie crystal.
Yeah, but, like, as I mean, they come across something, they deal with the situation. Oh, what the hell is that about? It doesn't matter.
We got something else to do.
We gotta be somewhere else.
Wouldn't that be how you were? Like, if you had a quest that was very important, you had to go get it done, and you came across a zombie crystal, you'd be like, F*** that, I'm doing my quest. This isn't our 2E D&D party where we just say, the main quest and do all the little quests. This is real, you know, quote unquote real life where you would main quest.
I'm not looking at it as a real life situation. I'm looking at it as if I was in a D&D party. You know how long we would spend on that zombie crystal?
We never would have got to the flowers. It never would have happened.
Yeah, no, exactly.
As soon as we were done the zombie crystal, there would have been something else to do.
Yep.
And then every couple weeks, you'd be like, oh yeah, what about those flowers? Meanwhile, where people are being murdered.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah, talk about the Invoker.
Let's talk about the Invoker. So, their quest is to, she needs to get the flowers and stuff. She figures out from a shopkeeper in that city that she needs to go to this desert-type place.
To the sage.
Yeah, to go to the sage, and he either has them or he'll tell her where they're at.
He'll tell her where they're at.
That's the Invoker.
Yeah.
So, they don't know they're going to the Invoker, but that's where they're going. Eventually, they get there, and, you know, you don't really learn a whole lot about him until, like, the episode before the end.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, the Invoker's been around for, like, 1,000 years or so. Super powerful. Lots of magic.
He's also an elf.
He's also an elf. And he was in love with Selimene.
The goddess. The
moon goddess. Mene is the moon goddess. Selimene is the dark moon goddess.
Yeah, which is stupid. Why did
she killed Mene and now became the only moon goddess.
Why did, oh, I guess.
And then Philomene is their daughter.
It would have been much easier if they just made one.
Yeah, definitely. God. But Philomene is their daughter. And Invoker wanted to leave with her and live a life with her. And he goes to do that. He creates this big old tower and everything. And he finds out that she's sick. And it's Terminal. He, you know, gets all the mages across the world. And no one can help her. It's Terminal, essentially. So he brings her back to Selimene. And we should probably talk about Selimene then.
She's a bitch.
She's a self-absorbed cunt.
That's so good, too.
Throughout the show, you see people, like, praising their love to her, saying, they love her, I love you, and she'll say, do you love me? And they say either yes or no. If you say no, you're gonna f***ing die. If you say yes, she sort of, like, absorbs the power from you, and then erases your memory so you don't remember it.
Right.
Something like that, along those lines. So, that's pretty clearly where she gets her powers from her followers. Maybe not all gods work that way, but she definitely does. So, Invoker brings his daughter, their daughter, to Selimene. And pretty much says, like, hey, can you heal her? Like, you have the power. I know you have the power to heal her. Please heal her. It's our daughter. And she talks to him, and she's like, do you love me?
Yeah, exactly.
Essentially saying, submit to me, and I'll fix her. So he submits. And then the daughter won't. She'll say, no, you're my mother.
Right. Which is
a lot for, like, a 10-year-old is probably the oldest that kid could have been. It's probably a lot to ask that from a 10-year-old. To understand, do you love me in that sense?
Right. Because
I think most 10-year-olds would have just said, yeah, you're my mom, I love you. But she understood the context that she didn't want to submit to her mom. She just wants her mom to love her.
Right. She shouldn't have to submit to her mother completely. To gain her love.
And to be healed by her mother's power. That's outrageous to even suggest that she would need to submit to her mother for that.
Exactly. It's stupid.
Well, she doesn't submit and she dies.
Yep.
And Invoker's filled with rage, but you don't see it. He kind of holds it in. He cries and he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like 1,000 years ago.
That's pent up for 1,000 years.
Very pent up. And he bid his time because he's very powerful, but she's, you know, she's a goddess. She's way more powerful than him. So the Terrorblade demon in the very beginning, that's his name, Terrorblade.
Yes.
It's sort of hard to get because they don't do a lot of explaining.
Right.
But invoke or cut a deal with him.
Right.
That he will help him trap the seven dragons. The seven elder whatever dragons.
Right. Well, are they gods?
I think they're like dragon gods. And there's a scene where all the dragons are kind of met up and Davion's talking to them, and they explain that when one of them dies, they don't die like people. They eventually come back.
So it's kind of, I kind of found it hard to believe that he was able to trap these seven dragon gods.
Well, that's apparently the big thing, is like the Invoker is like one of the most powerful beings ever to exist.
Right.
And he might not be able to have enough power to do something, but he'll figure out how to do it.
Right.
Okay. So that's kind of his whole shtick.
I don't know, it was kind of...
You don't want to invoke the Invoker's wrath.
Not only was it kind of hard to buy, but they only show him doing it once.
Yeah, you see him doing it once to one dragon, and then after that, the Terrorblade demon guy is able to be summoned to Selimene.
Well...
Because of the Eclipse. The Eclipse, like, suppresses her power so he can go to her.
That's not what happened at all. So... the princess and Davian get to the tower, and they make a deal for the lotuses.
Yeah, that happened.
And so when they take the lotuses back, and they open it, the lotuses are free, were infused with the power that created the
from Eclipse. From the Invoker.
Yeah, so the Invoker set a trap with the lotuses that caused the Eclipse that depowered all the Selimene and her followers.
So now Selimene is super depowered. And Terrorblade can be summoned to her.
And Terrorblade was summoned through one of her followers and came into it. Meanwhile, there's a whole war with elves out in the background.
Versus the humans. Yeah, we'll get to that in a moment. We'll just finish the Invoker thing.
I'm just saying.
So the Terrorblade got a demon, is summoned to Selimene up in the moon place where she lives. And he murders her. He kills her and takes her power.
Is that what happened? Because
I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Because I think, because they didn't show her die, because at the end, the Invoker shows up and says, "Do you love me?"
Oh, yeah, you're right. So she's dying.
So he could save her, possibly.
But that is the most epic line I've probably seen in any anime ever.
That was really good, yeah.
Because it's like, you know, it's a father that lost his child because of...
Because of that line.
Because of her. So, you know, the music's going, and the music's perfect for this scene. Perfect for the whole show, but perfect for this scene. And, you know, he's just leaning over, and she said, "Do you love me?" multiple times. He just leans in and goes, "Do you love me?" Like, perfectly paced out, rushed.
I think she even asks for help there, and she's like, "Help me." And then he says, do you love me?
I'm pretty sure she died. I can't imagine he would save her after that.
Unless she can bring back the daughter.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna happen, though.
But I'm just saying, it's possible.
It's possible. I don't think it's gonna happen. But epic line. Amazing. Like... If I was to judge the show based off of that one payoff, 10 out of 10.
That definitely, it's like, okay, now you gotta watch the second season.
But, yeah, amazing. But back to the elves and the humans fighting each other. So the princess is a human that was a part of the human group that was, you know,
worshiping
Selimene, and, you know, they wanted the lotuses and all that jazz. And then the elves were like a warring tribe that weren't at war with them for a very long time. They were living peacefully,
yes,
side by side, but side by side.
They were in enclaves, the elves.
Yeah, separate, but side by side. They're close, like distance close.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, not really. They're in enclaves all over the world, and then Selimene teleports all of her armies.
Oh, there you go. Well, Selimene told the new leader of the humans once the princess had left to get the lotuses.
No, she wasn't the new leader. She's always been the captain of the guard.
Well, yeah, sure, but if the princess was there, it's kind of like how the president works, right? The president can tell the generals to not do something. I'm pretty sure that's how it would have worked. If the princess was there, she would have been like, "No, don't do that."
The princess essentially what the princess is there for is to talk to Selimene and to calm her down and stuff like that.
For sure. And what I'm saying is, if the princess was there, they probably wouldn't have been murdering people.
Right. They probably wouldn't have gone down that way.
But so, because the princess wasn't there, the general or whatever starts gathering up.
At the same time, the princess wasn't there because the lotus was stolen, which means she's got exiled, so it really doesn't matter. This whole thing was caused regardless.
So, the general human girl is gathering up all the elves and committing atrocities, murdering tons of them when they don't need to be. Even if you were to gather them up and convert them, which is kind of what they were doing, you didn't have to murder all of those.
No.
And she was doing it, and she was kind of enjoying it. And then Selimene was like, "What are you doing, committing atrocities in my name?" And she's like, "What? I'm just doing what you told me to." And she's like, "No, I didn't. I just told you to get them," or whatever.
Well, she totally did.
Yeah, yeah. Come on. And then she was like, "Do better," or whatever.
Yeah, it's like...
And then she just continues murdering
him. I really didn't like Selimene.
No, she was a cunt. But, I mean, when you live for hundreds of thousands of years, like, forever, essentially, a lot of people...
Yeah, still.
Go kind of crazy.
Still.
And so what was really weird was at the end, when the eclipse happened, Selimene's influence off of all of her soldiers disappeared.
Yeah, all their powers and stuff.
Well, not just that, but also her influence. Mm-hmm. So, like, they kind of became like, oh, I didn't really want to do all these things that right, I was doing.
Exactly.
And then all the elves were like, we're going to murder them. We're going to f*** you up. It's like, you know, they can tell that they don't have her protection and her power anymore.
Right.
And then the princess is like, this is the dumbest line in the show, if you ask me. Maybe not lying, because I don't remember word for word what she said, but what she was trying to get across is, oh no, we're just going to leave in peace. Bye. No, you just murdered all these people. Now, the princess didn't do it, but your people did. And like, you can't just walk away from that.
But at the same time, they had just brokered a deal. They just said, all right, princess brought the lotuses. Here are the lotuses. We're going to free all the elves and we're all going to go home.
I don't think she brokered that deal with the elves, though. She was brokering it with the human.
She brokered it with Selimene and Selimene. So all the soldiers and stuff were leaving.
Yeah, yeah. No. Like, I totally get that. That makes sense.
Right, right.
But the elves, why would they just let you leave?
No, I understand that. But
you know what I mean? Like, I think that's like such a foolish, naive way to think like, oh, I just murdered all bunch of you and rounded you up and, you know, upheaved your lives. Bye.
At the same time, it's the prince. She was not a part of any of
that. No, she wasn't.
So I get what she was trying to go for.
But I think he kind of should have done it in a better way than, oh,
yeah.
See ya.
Yeah, I know, but...
I think it should have been more like, hey, maybe we don't surrender to you, but, like, we owe you guys big time. Something more along those lines would have been a lot better than, all right, bye.
It wouldn't have mattered what she said.
I feel like there could have been better ways to go about it.
I don't know. I get what they were going for.
But yeah, that's essentially it. Davion turns into a dragon once they're all fighting and tries to help her, and then Kaidan shows up with all the dragon knights and knocks him out, and they start wheeling him off. And it seems like Kaidan wants to help him.
It seems like it, because Kaidan is his
brother.
Brother got killed by all the other...
Oh, Kaidan's not just brother, but like his brothers, because like they're in a guild.
Yeah.
And then the man who trained them was all murdered and... From right. One big dragon.
But they were killed by the dragon that's infused with Davion right
so,
now.
So, like, he obviously wants to get to the dragon out so we can murder him, but at the same time,
right.
There's a couple lines where it feels like Kaidan wants to help him because he's his brother, too.
When they first got told it, that's what Kaidan wanted. He wanted to kill that dragon.
Yes.
But when he came this time, he's like, I'm here to save Davion.
Yes. So, it feels like, you know, complex character we don't know a whole lot about, but wants to help.
Right.
I guess we'll find out next season. Overall, I love it. Does it have some issues? Sure. But that last line, do you love me? Oh, it was f***ing epic.
That was a really good
chills. Chills.
That was good.
Especially with the surround sound I got, with the big the subwoofer and the rumbling.
All right, what are you giving it?
I want to say an 8.
I'm going 7.
I'd probably go a little higher if it didn't have the few issues that we did flesh out. Because I knew those issues were a thing, but I didn't really see them until we talked about it.
Until you talk it out. That's what this review show is.
So I probably would have given it a 9 if it wasn't for that.
Yeah, I'm at a 7.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. What else do we have for D?
All right. So we got an extra one in this one because of you. So, Divergence Eve.
Okay. Oh, last.
Darker Than Black.
Pretty good.
Dragon Half.
Oh, second last.
Domestic Girlfriend.
Domestic Girlfriend. Third to last. That wasn't terrible.
No, it was okay. Yeah. It was weird, though.
But I would definitely go Dota, Dark and Black. Oh.
And Death Note.
Ooh. Dota, Death Note. I've seen it like 4 times. I liked it. Darker Than Black.
Domestic Girlfriend.
Domestic Girlfriend, and then...
Dragon Half.
Dragon Half, and then Divergence Eve. That being said, the only two bad ones are Dragon Half and...
Divergence
Eve. The rest are good. Varying degrees of good, mind you, but good.
I would switch my top... The bottom three, I agree with you completely. I switched my top three a little. I really did not like Death Note.
Oh, I know.
So I'd probably go Dota, Darker Than Black, then Death Note, then
that's
bottom
fair.
Three. Because I really didn't like Death Note. I hated it.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of people... It's a love-hate thing. Either you love it or you hate it.
No.
All right, guys. You ready to spin for category? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure if you're ready.
Yeah. I was. I remembered 6 anime, so I just had to.
Not a lot in E. And we got Elysia? Almost got a Sean's pick. Elysia?
Oh.
Elysia, right?
Elysia, I guess. I don't know.
That's a weird name. We're just going to take a moment. Do what we always do and go to it.
It's under Elfin Lied.
Elysia. It looks older. 4 episodes. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
Adventure fantasy.
4 episodes? Yes.
My throat is super scratchy. If you could read that, that'd be great.
Okay. The sacred book of the land of Elgia has been rediscovered, and with it, the legends of a mysterious and all-powerful ship. Now, Princess...
Ija. E-I. It looks like an elf. It's hard to read. Sorry.
Yeah. Now, Princess Crystal of Margonia?
Megaronia?
Megaronia.
I don't know. Megaronia. I guess we'll find out when we watch it.
Has set forth on a quest to recover the ship and its ultimate weaponry. All that stands between her and total domination of the world is a small group of piratical misfits. I guess they're pirates. Swords, sorcery, and technologies blend to form a mesmerizing tale of good versus evil in
Elsia.
Elsia.
That's why 2 L's, though. You could just done EL. Yeah, that's why every time we said Elsia, it was weird. It's spelled ELLCIA.
Yeah.
Elsia.
When you say Elsia, I think there should be an E after the second L. It
could be Elkia, but that'd be weird for a C.
That would be a K, wouldn't it, though?
Oh, for sure, but sometimes when you translate things.
Maybe it's an actual name?
No, I assumed it was either continent or the world.
No, I know, but I'm actually...
It could be a name for someone.
So, yeah, that's what I mean. Maybe they got it from a name, or maybe it's a different language of a name somewhere.
Yeah. All right, guys. Next episode. Elsia, Elkia.
Bye.
Bye.